weekday 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. We begin in the Midwest, where severe thunderstorms are blamed for at least 5 deaths and several injuries.
The storms have left hundreds of thousands without power in Michigan and Ohio. They've also led to flash flooding. James Parker owns a bar in Cleveland.
It caused a lot of flooding in the street. The sewers were backing up. It was coming up over the sidewalk. We had a little bit of flooding with the drains, some of the water coming back up through the drains and things like that.
Strong storms are now moving across West Virginia, heading for southwestern Virginia. Jim Crisula, CBS News.
Just in from Maui, officials there have released a list of names of the 388 people still unaccounted for in this month's wildfires that devastated the historic town of Lahaina. 115 people are confirmed dead. Search and rescue teams are still sifting through the ashy debris, looking for human remains. Former President Trump is back at his golf club in New Jersey, hours after surrendering to face charges of election tampering in Georgia.
What has taken place here is a travesty of justice. We did nothing wrong. I did nothing wrong.
He was fingerprinted and had his mugshot taken. Correspondent Nicole Killian from Atlanta's Fulton County Courthouse.
The former president already trying to capitalize on the moment, selling merchandise on his campaign website. And for the first time since being banned in January 2021, he returned to X, formerly known as Twitter. He posted his booking photo writing, "I will never surrender our mission," and included a link for contribution.
Nicole, at the jailhouse, the Kremlin has yet to confirm Wagner mercenary leader Yevgeny Prigozhin was killed in a plane crash this week. But it is rejecting allegations Vladimir Putin was behind what U.S. intelligence concludes was an intentional explosion. Correspondent Deborah Patta at the Foreign Desk.
The one thing Vladimir Putin cannot forgive, he once said, is betrayal. The very word he used to describe Prigozhin's failed mutiny, it was treachery. Acknowledging the crash for the first time, Putin spoke of Prigozhin in the past tense yesterday.
The head of Spain's Soccer Federation now claims a very public kiss on the lips was consensual, and he's refusing to resign. CBS's Charlie Daggett.
Spanish Football Association called the extraordinary General Assembly in response to the conduct of Luis Rubiales at the Women's World Cup final, confirming it had opened internal proceedings. He was seen grabbing player Jennifer Hermoso and kissing her on the lips in front of a global audience, something she said made her feel uncomfortable. Earlier, he was seen grabbing his crotch in front of the Queen of
S&P futures are up 19. This is CBS News.
Hire with minimal effort and max speed with Indeed. Their hiring solution platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates efficiently. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. The matter of whether Wisconsin voters can receive a replacement ballot will return to a Waukesha County courtroom next week. A hearing is scheduled in Waukesha for a case concerning ballot spoiling, which refers to obtaining a new ballot. The issue stems from the Wisconsin Election Commission's attempt to enable voters to recast their votes if the candidate they initially chose withdrew from the race. Southwest Airlines is expanding its spring break service at Mitchell to 11 destinations. Brittany Merlot has more about the increase.
Southwest Airlines is expanding its spring break service at Mitchell to 11 destinations. The expansion includes increased weekday and weekend flights to Nashville, Denver, Las Vegas, Orlando, Phoenix, and more. The move aims to increase travel options.
With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
A perfect day starts with perfect breakfast. Start your day with Brunch It Up. Our experts are serving up the ultimate brunch experience. Our menu is loaded with inventive dishes from chicken and waffles to cinnamon roll pancakes. Try unique cocktails like Brunch Bloody Mary with house-infused vodka. Come brunch it up over bottomless mimosas or a midday pick-me-up or with the whole family for an unforgettable Sunday brunch. Brunch It Up in Milwaukee, Brookfield, or Cedarburg from 7 to 3 on weekdays and 8 to 3 on weekends. Let's Brunch It Up.
Hey, this is Lindsay Kindert at 540 WAUK The Shaw. At Civic Media, we love our local communities and want to share your stories. Submit your local event and we'll let our listeners know. Email me, Lindsay Kindert, at info@civicmedia.us. That's info@civicmedia.us.
The kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles west-northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898. But 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Jerry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Okay.
Don't let me down.
One, two, three,
four. Don't let me down. She does. Ooh, she does. Yes, she does. And if somebody loved me like she does, ooh, she does. Yes, she does.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Friday. That means Friday's with my co-host, Sandy Williams. So, Sandy, as I was perusing the different outlets for today's show, I stopped. This is from The Hill. GOP talk of military action in Mexico sparks dire warnings. Rising GOP support for the U.S. And even Ron DeSantis talked about this at the debate. And they asked him the question. He clearly stated, you know, he would go in and then he would slaughter the cartel and they would be killing everywhere. He used that verbiage. Rising GOP support for the U.S. taking unilateral military action in Mexico against drug cartels is increasingly rattling people on both sides of the border who worry talk of an attack is getting normalized. Wednesday's Republican presidential primary debate featured high-stakes policy disagreements on a range of issues from abortion to the environment, but found near unanimous consensus on the idea of using American military force to fight drug smuggling and migration. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis made the strongest pledge on the stage with his response to Fox News moderator Martha McCallum asking whether he would support sending U.S. special forces into Mexico to take out fentanyl labs, to take out drug cartel operations. He said, yes, and I will do it on day one. Your thoughts, Sandy?
Well, international law, apparently it doesn't apply to us when we don't find it convenient. But unless Mexico invites us to send our troops into their country, it's essentially under international law, unless we were chasing criminals from the United States into Mexico, it's tantamount to an act of war to send troops into a country without the invitation of the country. So, you know, the United States, we can talk this way, but all it's doing is creating a dangerous environment for our relationship with Mexico. If Mexico thinks that we're on the verge of sending troops in to protect ourselves, you know, that was the rationale for Russia sending troops into Crimea, right? Or into the Donbass region. was to protect the interests of Russia in those regions. So we need to talk to Mexico. If we think this is important, we ought to persuade Mexico to invite us. If they don't invite us and we do this, I think we should expect that very quickly both Russia and China would be in Mexico City talking to the Mexican government about how it is that maybe Mexico needs to sign an alliance agreement with one or both of them to defend them against this big guy to their border to the north. And we can find out how we like the notion of having a superpower with bases in a country on our border.
So it's safe to say you think this is reckless conversation.
It's reckless conversation. We ought to talk about it in the context, at least, of proper international law. We ought to talk about talking to the Mexican government, doing what's necessary to persuade them that they need our help. And if they decide they need our help, then it's not reckless conversation. But it is certainly reckless conversation to talk about unilaterally sending forces in to carry out these activities. I guess we've gotten so used to covert activities around the world with our CIA and our special ops teams that we think we can do it wherever, whenever.
You know, Sandy, there are people who will say, who are listening right now, who will say, well, they're shipping that fentanyl across the border, and it's coming from there, and many Americans are dying. Anyway, here's a matter of fact, here's a guy right now, Ken. Hey, good morning to you, Ken. What do you say?
Good morning, gentlemen. So you want to negotiate with the Mexican cartel that runs the government?
No. Look, we have a government next to us, the government of Mexico. However it's run and whatever it is, that's what we're left with to negotiate. I mean, either you negotiate with the government or you declare war on it. I mean, that's just the way it works under international law.
Do you realize who runs the Mexican government? The drug cartel.
Well, that's
do you understand that?
Well, we definitely think that the money in Mexico has everything to do with the government that in Mexico, and much of the money in Mexico apparently is drug cartel money. But that being the case, still, do we declare war on Mexico? Is that what you're urging? Because that's tantamount to what it would be to send troops into Mexico to carry out our activity. That is an act of war. So that's a matter of international law. You know, our American government is controlled by money, too. It isn't drug cartel money, but there's no question that the American government is largely influenced by moneyed interests.
How is that a declaration of war?
Sending troops into another country?
All over the world.
Sending troops into another country is not a declaration of war? Well, what do you think is?
We have troops all around the world.
Well, we aren't fighting. Where we have troops in all the bases around the world are places where we've signed treaties that allow us to have those bases. When we do special ops in countries in Africa and elsewhere, we are risking the notion that the country which is involved could view us as declaring war. Now, we have enough muscle, apparently, in most of those countries, so they complain about it and don't do much about it. But it is, under international law, not permitted.
It is under international law. You can't smuggle drugs across countries.
Okay.
You have every country has the right to protect themselves. So your solution is sit back and do nothing.
I didn't say that. No, that was not the I just said that I didn't think that it was. I thought it was reckless to talk about unilateral military action, sending troops across the border into Mexico. Pancho Villa did the same thing in Texas in reverse fashion. I just think we need to just sit down and figure this out. There are ways to get at this directly without reckless activity and reckless conversation.
Meanwhile, while you're sitting down, there's hundreds of thousands of youth that are falling over dead from fentanyl. And that's your solution, to sit on your hands and do nothing.
Well, first of all, fentanyl is the source of fentanyl is Mexico. It's also China. It's other countries. So fentanyl is a problem that has to do with the appetite in the United States for drugs as well. So we've got, this is a two-sided issue. We've got a drug usage problem in the United States, and we have a drug problem with respect to the dangerous drugs that are being sourced and sent to the United States, and we need to deal with both of them. Yes, but drugs are not, you know, drugs are definitely being generated by and imported into the United States from cartels. There's no question about it, from Mexico and elsewhere.
All right, Ken, thank you very much for the call. You know, Sandy, Ken does represent a segment of this nation that is frustrated with these continued deaths. And I agree with you. I've said it as well, that the appetite in our nation for drugs is stronger than it is almost anywhere else in the world. Even though we're one of the smaller nations that are dealing with these kinds of issues. So it can't just be, let's cut it off. It wouldn't be coming if, you know, there wasn't a market for it. Is that right?
Well, that's right. But I mean, and I think that our relationship with Mexico needs to be altered. I think we need to pay far more attention to it than we do. If we paid far more attention to it, we could probably have much greater sway over the extent to which the cartels controlled operations. I mean, Mexico did carry out an operation several years ago to arrest the person who was then the biggest kingpin of
Puncher,
the cartel.
What was his name?
Well, I'll think of his name.
Yeah, I know the guy you're talking about.
But, you know, so it's not that they haven't done anything, but it is true that the country is, in some respects, a lawless country in which cartels have their way without government control
over them. But Sandy, even knowing that, we do business there. You know, we've moved factories there. And so it's not like, you know, we don't have a working relationship with Mexico.
Well, I just think if we paid far more attention to that relationship, we might actually get further along the road in terms of having a joint activities to defeat the drug problem in Mexico.
Well, you know,
and Ken is probably right that the Mexican cartel money has polluted the politics in Mexico to such an extent that it would be hard to figure out who to talk to in order to solve the problem.
You were just there a couple of years ago.
Well, yeah, but, you know, as a tourist, you know.
I know, but tourists, we have that kind of relationship with Mexico that many Americans.
Oh, yeah. Well, sure, but, you know, and the fact is you had to know how to behave to be safe. You had to know where to go. And it was true that when I was driving on the highway, we'd see cars that would announce that they were security cars, had armed security cars with a sign on it saying that going down the road. There is a lawless aspect to Mexico. I understand the frustration we have about the need for to get a grip on the cartel operations, who incidentally operate in the United States as well. So, you know, we don't actually have a clear handle on drug operations, because this drug gets smuggled into the United States.
And then somebody here.
To somebody here, yeah. which is, in fact, something like a drug cartel, distributes it in the United States. So we got a problem at home. That's the distribution problem. It's more than the last mile.
I think it's well said. I have to go to a break. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back. You are right.
Are heading back to class. But when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898. But 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Slight chance for scattered showers this afternoon, otherwise overcast skies. High of 78, easterly winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Partly cloudy skies tonight. Lows dip down to about 64. Highs around 72. Tomorrow, cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun. Mainly clear skies Sunday with a high of 74. 78 Monday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 66 degrees.
Keeping Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained. This is The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM. WAUK.
Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Friday. That means Friday's with my co-host, Sandy Williams. So, Sandy, I got an idea, man. Maybe you and I should go get some mug shots. And then put them on T-shirts and coffee mugs.
Make money.
Yeah. So you saw the Donald Trump mugshot. He was ahead of the game already.
You know, what interests me is I just pictured how long he stood in front of a mirror figuring out just exactly what face to make for the mugshot, because that was worthy of Marvel Comics.
Well, it's going to make them a lot of money.
Oh, yeah. It already is.
I've seen a couple of shirts already. They're already marketing them. Coffee mugs. He's going to pick up tens of millions of dollars. And he needs it, right?
Well, I guess. Yeah. I mean. Look, there is this to say, that, you know, genius. I think Donald Trump probably is a marketing genius. The Trump brand was a function of marketing, and until he sullied it by becoming president and just exposing himself in that way, the Trump brand had lots of value. And so, you know, I think the only way he's made money, actually, I think he inherited enough money, $400+ million. If he'd put it in the stock exchange, the Standard & Poor's 500 at the time he inherited it, he'd have $6 billion today. He would be doing far better than he did as a businessman, except he is a marketing genius. And so he knows what it is that grabs people's attention. He grabs it every day in various ways. And I'll have to say this is another, you know, episode of that exercise of genius. He's going to make his various funding sources lots of money with these.
Well, there's no question people are going to buy them, and they're going to put a positive spin on it, even though when the thought was that once he had this mugshot, it was going to be an embarrassment to him. He doesn't see it from that perspective.
Well, there is. I think when one is shameless, there is no shame, and that is actually the fact. I think that's the way other people treat it as well. When people do shameless things and hold their head up, it's not a problem for them. And so he's demonstrated that for 8 years.
Let's do this. Let's bring our buddy Gary up. Good morning to you, Gary. How you doing?
Yeah, good. Hey, you know, I watched the debate.
Did you buy the T-shirt yet or the coffee mug? Or?
No.
Okay. All right.
No. But I did watch the debate, and I noticed that DeSantis has been going down in popularity. The other guys are all staying about
the same.
Does that
surprise you, man?
No, it doesn't surprise me at all.
I thought you were a DeSantis fan early on.
No. Yes, early on. Okay. I was ready to have Donald Trump just walk away and let someone else take over. But because of the fact that he's getting indicted and all these other things going on, it's just making him more popular. So the more that you guys push him around and indict him, the stronger he's going to get.
Sandy, did you indict him?
Well, one of the things that is interesting, like this is what worried me about the process, because I agree that whenever an ex-president or a candidate for president gets indicted, it's pretty easy to paint it as a political witch hunt.
Yeah.
It's a political effort to subvert someone's electability. And really it relates to the conduct of the person, but so for me, that's why I look at Richard Nixon and say, you have to respect him at least for the process of his respect for the American system and democracy. He didn't put us through this issue and this problem by trying to paint it the other way. You know, the notion that Biden's government is prosecuting Trump isn't borne out by the facts. First of all, this most recent indictment is a Georgia state indictment. I don't think they call up Joe Biden to get their instructions. Secondly, he's on the eve of a probable indictment in Arizona, another state indictment, not subject to instructions. The indictment by the federal government is pursuant to a special counsel who himself would testify under oath and says regularly that he's received no directions or instructions, whatever. He's simply a prosecutor who's been told to follow the facts and pursue the case, just the way John Durham was. So, it's a terrible problem. And I would blame selfish men for putting the country second and putting themselves first. And to be honest with you, to some extent, I think Joe Biden's doing the same thing, but not at the same level as what's happening now with Trump. He definitely is putting himself and hit the importance of electing Donald Trump president way beyond the importance of the country itself.
Gary?
The thing is this. Donald Trump is a narcissist, okay? Everybody knows that. I agree with you guys.
Well, then why are people voting for him?
But the thing is this. It's because the Democrats are out to get him so bad, it's just making people like me change from DeSantis to Trump. And, if Donald Trump would just walk away, DeSantis would start going up in the polls. But, you know, I watched the debate. I was satisfied what he had to say.
Hey, Gary, we got to go to a break, man. Hang on. Bill, CJ, and others will come to all of you after the break. 844-967-2780. And I promise you, we'll give you an opportunity. We'll be right back.
Your home of the Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
CBS News Brief. Local reports say at least five people have been killed as a result of severe storms in Michigan. WWJ-TV's Stacey Duford.
We did see some wind damage. We saw some hail. We saw lots of flooding. We're still getting reports on all of the damage from these storms.
Former President Trump is back at his golf club in New Jersey after posting $200,000 bond in Georgia. CBS's Nicole Killian says he got the money from a bail bondsman.
We are told that this arrangement was done ahead of the former president's arrest, and it was handled remotely.
COVID is spreading again. Hospitalizations were up 21% in a single week in August. CBS News medical contributor Dr. Celine Gounder.
I think if you are going to be in a crowded public place, the subway, an airplane, a crowded theater, those are the kinds of places I would at least consider wearing a mask.
An uptick in cases forced two school districts in eastern Kentucky to cancel in-person classes. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. The electric buses in Milwaukee are currently inactive due to a battery recall. The Milwaukee County Transit System recently announced the suspension of all Nova Bus electric buses from the Bus Rapid Transit line. As a result, conventional diesel buses will operate on the BRT route. Nova Bus, the manufacturer of the bus batteries, said this week there is a potential concern with the units. Charges have been brought against two jail workers from Waukesha County in connection with the drug overdose death of an inmate in January. Nurse Deborah Link and Lieutenant Joanna Grace are alleged to have inadequately responded after inmate Randy Glenn Jr. consumed cocaine while incarcerated. Despite discovering the baggies and conducting checks on Glenn, he reassured them that he was okay and hadn't ingested the drugs. With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
A perfect day starts with perfect breakfast. Start your day with Brunch It Up. Our experts are serving up the ultimate brunch experience. Our menu is loaded with inventive dishes from chicken and waffles to cinnamon roll pancakes. Try unique cocktails like Brunch Bloody Mary with house-infused vodka. Come brunch it up over bottomless mimosas or a midday pick-me-up or with the whole family for an unforgettable Sunday brunch. Brunch It Up in Milwaukee, Brookfield, or Cedarburg from 7 to 3 on weekdays and 8 to 3 on weekends. Let's brunch it up.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
All the people living.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. We're talking about Donald Trump and his mugshot. Gary from Sussex, quickly.
Yeah. It was a nice picture. I enjoyed looking at it, and it just motivates me.
Is it a strawberry blonde hair?
I don't know. It was funny. I loved it. I asked my wife. I said, Beth, she said, you want to see the picture? I said, yeah. And I said, is he smiling and thumbs up or whatever? And she said, no, you look like he's staring you down, you know?
Hey, Sandy, didn't you say you think he took a lot of different...
Oh, I'm sure he practiced. He practiced that one. That was it was almost like they have something in Ireland called a gurning contest. Look up gurning and pictures of people gurning, but it's making faces, and he wins the gurning contest.
Okay, Gary. So you say what quickly?
Okay, I do the change of subject from that. I just want to ask you: did you think that Biden, when he made this assumption or whatever comparison to his fire that he had in his kitchen?
No, man, listen. I wish we don't have time to change the subject. I got people on the line waiting to address this subject, but thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Bill, hey, from McConnell. Good morning to you, Bill. You say what, sir? Bill, are you there? We'll come back to Bill. Let's go to CJ.
Marilyn, Sandy, you spoke of the Trump brand. They were selling something. They were selling real estate and building golf courses. What was the Biden brand? What are they selling for tens of millions of dollars to China? And I'd like to know that answer, but unfortunately, your party doesn't. I think I understand why Trump is mad. Tom Tiffany, our own congressman, during the testimony from John Durham made it understandable why Trump is mad. And Tom Tiffany put it this way: the hoax of Crossfire Hurricane wasn't justified. The Clinton campaign paid for it. President Obama and VP Biden knew about it. The FBI orchestrated it. The media sold it to every voter.
What are you talking about?
Well, he's talking about the steel.
The steel dossier.
He's talking about the steel dossier.
Man,
CJ,
on.
The only thing you left off there is that Steele was originally hired by the Republicans. So that dossier got started by a Republican opponent to Trump in the primary election process, and yes, apparently afterwards when Trump won the nomination. The steel operation went to Hillary and said, do you want to buy this from us? Do you want to keep going on this? Because we've been doing this for, and I can't tell you which candidate it was that was financing it.
But Sandy, I don't understand how it has anything to do with Trump and what Trump did.
Well,
was involved in.
Well, it's sort of like Johnny did something so Teddy shouldn't get punished. But, you know, the fact is that we need to deal with the particular conduct that's involved with the allegations in the indictments, and whether there was something wrong done in the past associated with Hillary or with Trump in the initial campaign process. I'm not conceding any of that. I'm just saying it's not relevant to the question of these indictments.
So let me ask you, Sandy. So Donald Trump said, all I was doing was challenging the election. Well, he did. 63 different times they went to court to challenge the election outcome, and they lost every one of them.
Yeah.
So that's as far as it goes with his challenging. It's what he did outside of that, Sandy.
Right.
That is in question.
I mean, the question is whether the conversation with the Secretary of State in Georgia or whether the false elector process itself or all of that is what's going to be tested in the courts. And we as laymen, I guess, can gnash our hands about it one way or the other. But it is going through the proper channels for a judicial analysis and ultimate judicial outcome. But the conduct itself was certainly unprecedented.
Well, Chris Christie made a statement on Wednesday.
Yeah.
He said these things were unbecoming of the office.
Beneath the office.
Beneath the office. CJ, go ahead without, you know, going into the Steele dossier. So you think this is still a witch hunt after Donald Trump?
Well, you know, I wish you guys would have the same criticism or criteria from at least he's not selling out the country. And it's more than the Steele dossier.
Well, wait, CJ. So, look, we have said repeatedly that as far as we're concerned, if the facts and if the investigations reveal Hunter Biden or Joe Biden, that those shoes ought to fall.
And they will fall.
But this shoe is what's falling right now, and it's not a defense. It's not a defense for these shoes that there are these other shoes over there that are potentially going to fall. And we aren't, so I don't think that there's necessarily a different set of standards being applied.
Because there is a special
counsel investigating, and Hunter Biden is now probably going to face a trial.
So, Sandy, let me ask you, and CJ, in simplest terms, I'm speeding on the highway, and the police pull and the highway patrol pulls me over, Sandy. I'm speeding. Well, there's four or five other cars speeding too, but they pull me over.
Mm-hmm.
And I say, hey, wait a minute. I wasn't the only car that was speeding. There were all these other cars speeding. Well, I'm the person they got. So Donald Trump is the person they have right now.
Well, yeah.
And you can't say, well, other people are doing well. Joe Biden and Hunter Biden.
Well, the allegation isn't that they're doing the same thing; it's that they're doing something else.
Right.
Okay. And I certainly agree that even-handed justice is what's required, or we are going to lose.
We all agree with that.
Yeah. And so I don't disagree, CJ, at all with you that we need even-handed justice and we need to have those things pursued. But even-handed justice doesn't mean calling off the dogs on one and not the other. Okay, it means the dogs are in pursuit of both, and I'm not, you know, the timing is something that is an issue, but you know, the slow timing on Trump was really more a function of the process being carefully carried out. Would Trump have preferred that these indictments be brought last year?
But Sandy, so what you're saying is they were going to come.
Well, the investigations were following the course that criminal investigations for white-collar crimes run. And I think you can go to the newspaper and find that it takes not months but years to consummate the indictment for many kinds of white-collar crimes.
All right, CJ, last chance, quickly.
Okay, Merrick Garland, who's his boss? Who's Adam Weiss, who's special counsel, supposed to be named outside of the government, and they put this guy in who had the bad plea deal, and he's still in control. This is a lie. This is a hoax.
Hey,
your party celebrates.
All four indictments?
No. He's talking about Adam Weiss is the one who's the special prosecutor in the Hunter Biden case. He's a Republican nominee to a U.S. attorney job. He was the one that the Republicans wanted to have appointed to the job. He was appointed, and he was the one that had the plea bargain agreed to that then fell apart. But,
Sandy, once again, what CJ does is change the subject from what we're talking about with Donald Trump, who is now facing these issues. And you can't go back and talk about Joe Biden.
Well, here's the problem, and here's what I give credence to CJ in this regard. What Donald Trump is doing is setting the table for us to have this kind of an argument with CJ, and for the people who support Trump to argue and believe that this is a political witch hunt, because Donald Trump has set the table for that kind of an argument. Okay, Richard Nixon didn't. Okay,
true.
And Donald Trump has put himself and hit the election of Donald Trump ahead of the country because we are forced into this kind of an argument because of it. And I would believe and would expect that people who were strong supporters of Donald Trump would believe that that this was potentially a politically motivated kind of a thing, because Donald Trump is contending that it doesn't happen. This is unprecedented in history. We haven't ever had a president quite like Donald Trump in history. We've never had the conduct that he's charged with occur in history. We've never had slates of false electors. We've never had a January 6th insurrection. We've never had any of that before. So it is all unprecedented. But he set the table for this.
Sandy, we can't dismiss the January 6th.
No, I'm just saying. No. But the table has been set by the individual for us to have this right. argument with people who are all patriots and we're going to tear each other apart.
Yeah. So let's bring Bill from Oconomowoc up. Hey, good morning to you, Bill. Thank you very much for the call. Go ahead, sir.
Good morning, Earl. As usual, a good topic. I want CJ, I hope he's listening, but I want to ask you guys this too. All of us, CJ included, believe in the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, all that. In the the 14th Amendment, specifically, Section 3 states, when you willingly and knowingly participate in domestic terrorism, you are no longer eligible to run for office. It's stated in there. Why is everybody not talking about that, or what am I missing? Why does the 14th Amendment, Section 3, not apply now? Because it should. I don't know what's going on, why they don't even talk about it. All those candidates at that crazy debate, according to the Constitution, can't be involved because they supported them. All of them.
Well,
all of them. But if you support somebody who now, okay, Sandy, go ahead.
There are now more and more both conservative and liberal constitutional specialists who are arguing that same point, that the 14th Amendment, Section 3, would disqualify Donald Trump. There is, however, whenever there's a language in a constitution or a statute, you have to decide that the facts equal the language, right? So the language, I think, relates to rebellion, and the question then would become, were the actions here, do they constitute that? And, you could have a Secretary of State assert that he won't put on the ballot Donald Trump's name because he believes that the 14th Amendment has been violated. But then there would be a court case to figure out whether the conduct of Donald Trump met the standard of the conduct in the 14th Amendment. So I think you end up in court.
All right, got a very short break. Hang on. We'll come right to you guys. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
Experience the magic. Joy Engine presents Nightlife, Friday and Saturday, September 8th and 9th, from 5 until 10:30 p.m. The dazzling live spectacle brings 4D projection mapping technology to Milwaukee's iconic historic Mitchell neighborhood. A multi-story building at 710 West Historic Mitchell Street will serve as the mesmerizing backdrop for the show. Nightlife will feature a fashion show, a variety of local vendors, dance performances, and music. After sundown, the event will set the grounds alight with an amazing motion graphic show. Families with children will have plenty of options to indulge in memory-making activities throughout the festival's run, including a life-size light bright wall and a hands-on multilingual exhibit presented by PNC Bank. The event is family-friendly and free to the public. Don't miss this iconic event, Nightlight, presented by Joy Engine, where art comes to life. Log on joyengine.com/nightlight. That's joyengine.com/nightlight.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Slight chance for scattered rain showers this afternoon, otherwise cloudy skies. Daytime highs approaching 78, east winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. 64 tonight, partly cloudy skies. Tomorrow, daytime highs approaching 72. Mainly clear skies Sunday with a high of 74. 78 Monday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 66 degrees.
Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and the Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Yesterday, all my troubles seemed so far away. Now it looks as though they're here to stay. Oh, I believe in yesterday. Suddenly, I'm not half the man I used to be. There's a shadow hanging.
All right, welcome back to the last few minutes of the Earl Ingram Show. And it's Friday. It means Fridays with my co-host Sandy Williams. We go right back to the phone lines. Paul from Slinger. Good morning to you, Paul. You say what, sir? Paul, are you there? Okay, let's go to Tom from West Dallas. We'll come back to Paul. Yes, sir, Tom.
Good morning, gentlemen. I'll try to make this quick. With hypocrite CJ, I want to know then why Trump, who got caught red-handed with these classified documents, we all know he had them. He had, there's no way around that. He had them. He even talked about having them. Why is he running free when that stupid kid about 5-6 months ago got busted for sharing classified documents on the internet with his friends and stuff so he could look cool? That kid is sitting in jail now in probably some dark cell, and we'd never hear anything about him, but yet Trump is allowed to walk free. Talk about two-tier justice.
Sandy, you want to – you're embarrassed. You want to respond to that?
It's a good point. I mean, you know, the problem with document, the possession of document kind of a crime is people will say, well, it's petty, or everyone did it, or Biden did it. So, you know, we still have to have the trial of that case, and we'll find out what about those documents. And I suspect that it's not trivial, and we'll find out that it's not trivial. But right now it's subject to that argument by the Trump supporters.
But even if it's trivial, I mean, Trump had nuclear secrets. He had battle plans.
No question about it. I'm just saying that I'm just talking about the RA. This is what Trump set us all up for. This is what Trump has set the American people up for, is to have these kind of arguments and to say that, yeah, these are technical crimes, but you shouldn't prosecute an ex-president for it because it makes us look like a banana republic.
Well, again, equal protection under the law.
Absolutely.
Hey,
so,
Tom.
Again, I thank you.
Hey, Tom. Thank you, man. Thank you for listening. You know, Sandy, I think you. It clearly, what is happening here, and I think you clearly, it frustrates you somewhat because, as you stated, Trump has set everybody up for this.
Yeah,
he knows what he's doing, right?
Absolutely. He knows what he's doing, and in fact, to some extent, he believes that he's above the law for the very reason that he can set this table this way. He can turn the people against one another. He can turn the people against the justice system. The justice system has to worry about maintaining the respect for it, because, quite frankly, the rule of law in a country is only as good as the respect the people have for the courts and for the police. And he's set the people against the courts, the police, and the prosecutors. So once you've done that, it's a bit like saying that there are no facts, but we can talk about is alternative facts. He set us up for a world of alternative facts and a world in which we attack the very basis of our country, which is our courts and our police.
So let's say Trump wins, and he wins, and he becomes the president again, and those people who support Trump celebrate him, and he gets another 4 years, but they've destroyed all these
Well, I think people should try to picture what those first months of that Trump presidency will be like and what will happen to our government in that situation when the executive decides to exercise the power of the presidency pure and simply as in a vindictive manner and in a manner that is totally related to personal power and not the welfare of the country. That's what we need to project, and I think it's a horrifying projection.
And I'm wondering for those people, again, who support him, because he's not going to be there forever. And even if he wins, he gets four more years. And I know there's talk that he's talking about trying to extend it to whatever. He would get four more years. All the other things have been torn down that you talk about.
Well, Gary, you know, Gary said that everyone knows he's a narcissist. People should project, what will this narcissist do in a term in office in which he's not running for re-election and is able to exercise the power of the presidency in the fashion that he chooses? And I think it's horrifying, and I think that Barack Obama and others have talked about how horrifying they believe it might be to have this man reelected president.
You know, I just don't think long-term people have thought about it, for those who support him, you know, and whether or not all those different tenets of the democracy, as you stated, what are they going to replace it with? Those things all torn down.
Yeah, I mean, what are you going to want to replace the FBI with? What's the new Secret Service, CIA? What are you going to replace it with? I mean, these things have defects, but you fix them. You don't destroy them.
The
court system is the backbone of a democracy. You don't throw them away, and you don't breed a nation which mistrusts their judicial system, because at that point you've really got a problem. I had a theme idea for this show today, and we'll do it another time maybe. But the fact that America has trouble, Americans have trouble with end games. We have the ability to do knee jerk kinds of things that are reactive to the situation, but we don't tend to think about end games. We don't do it with our international affairs. And we're not doing it now with the whole Trump situation. What's the end game? What's the end game of destroying trust in courts? What's the end game of destroying trusts in the prosecution process? What's the end game for electing someone who would be so singularly interested in personal power? What's the end game? And that's what we need to start focusing on with everything we do. What's our end game with respect to our policies, with education, with health, with child daycare, with foreign affairs? Where should we put our foot down, and what's our end game? It cost us a lot of money and a lot of lives in Afghanistan, in Iraq, in Vietnam. No end game.
I think, Sandy, it's well put. And listen, we've got to leave it there. Thank you, everybody who made the show go. Thank you for a great week, Calvin. You know, thank you, Sandy. And thank you to the listening audience. We'll be back on Monday. Have a great weekend. You've been tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. And thank all of you from across the state who found our program worthy of your listening. See you on Monday. In yesterday, why she had to go, I don't know. She wouldn't say. Such an easy game to play. I need a place to hide away. Oh, I believe in yesterday.
A perfect day starts with perfect breakfast. Start your day with Brunch It Up. Our experts are serving up the ultimate brunch experience. Our menu is loaded with inventive dishes, from chicken and waffles to cinnamon roll pancakes. Try unique cocktails like Brunch Bloody Mary with house-infused vodka. Come brunch it up over bottomless mimosas or a midday pick-me-up, or with the whole family for an unforgettable Sunday brunch. Brunch It Up in Milwaukee, Brookfield, or Cedarburg, from 7 to 3 on weekdays and 8 to 3 on weekends. Let's brunch it up.
Did you know your favorite shows and hosts are active on social media too? Find Civic Media on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook and be part of the conversation happening there. And go to our website, civicmedia.us, to learn more about the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to The Shaw. WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.